Each of us decides in our own heart whether we will believe in God, or which God, if any, we will believe in. To leave these matters of the heart undecided is similar to leaving a boat unanchored at dock or port. One has to hope that the wind won't come up or the storm or hurricane will land somewhere else, far away. Anchors and matters of the heart should not be decided in a state of emergency. How many of us are that cool under that kind of pressure in a crisis? You could take time today or this week to consider and decide these matters. They can remain open for review, but have the basics down, at least. Then you can live what you believe, always less stressful, more peaceful. I can only talk about Jesus. As a minister, I'm a minister of God's Word, the Bible. I don't know anything else to talk about. I can only speak with any authority on matters of my own heart. You will have to decide about matters of your heart. So we have an affirmation of faith taken from God's Word. Each week, and this is from 1 John, a letter called 1 John, in the 4th chapter. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God's word for today is from the letter to the churches in the city of Rome, which the Apostle Paul was going to visit, and so he wrote to them first. And this reading is from the 2nd chapter and the first 4 verses. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere mortal, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. Or do you show contempt for the riches of God's kindness, God's forbearance, and God's patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? Today's Bible reading may seem like an odd place to base a sermon or a message about love, but it is there, a description, in part, of God's love for us and for all. Kindness, forbearance, patience. Or as one version includes one of my favorite words, God's love for us includes goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering. God doesn't suffer, but Jesus did for us. One version says it like this: God's generosity, tolerance, and patience. Another states God's wonderful goodness, or of His patience and willingness to put up with you and me. Don't you realize that God's kindness is supposed to lead you to change your heart and life? We spoke last time about human love, and we will again today, because we are looking at human love and God's love and Christian love. Many people experience what we call romantic love, like this. In this song, I have often walked down this street before, but the pavement always stayed beneath my feet before. All at once am I several stories high, knowing I'm on the street where you live. Are there lilac trees in the heart of town? Can you hear a lark in any other part of town? Does enchantment pour out of every door? No, it's just on the street where you live. And oh, the towering feeling, just to know somehow you are near. The overpowering feeling that any second you may suddenly appear. People stop and stare, they don't bother me, for there's nowhere else on earth that I would rather be. Let the time go by, I won't care if I can be here on the street where you live. That song is On the Street Where You Live, in the musical both from Broadway and film, entitled My Fair Lady. That song is about being in love. Listen to this, and I'm just going to read this, there's no song. Fire runs through my body, the pain of loving you. Pain runs through my body with the first of my love for you. Sickness wanders my body with my love for you. Pain like an infection about to tear open my flesh is my love for you. Consumed by fire with my love for you, I remember what you said to me. I am thinking of your love for me. I am torn by your love for me. Pain and more pain. Where are you going with my love? I am told you will go from here. I am told you will leave me here. My body is numb with grief. That was spoken over 120 years ago by a Native American. So in just these two examples, we have the ecstatic and the painful experiences of what we call being in love. We find evidence of this romantic love across hundreds of years, across continents, across cultures. Some scientists have found evidence of romantic love across 147 different cultures on Earth. Some scientists believe they have found evidence of this being in love, or infatuation, or being passionate, or being strongly, romantically attracted to someone. They found evidence in our brains. Even if you have never felt this in love, you could, you might someday. It's not restricted to young people. It isn't just a midlife crisis. This kind of love is a brain crisis. And like most brain functions, it serves some useful purposes. It makes us focus our energies on one person. That's very efficient. It causes attachments that can help two people perpetuate the human species. Sexual drive is the brain drive Americans pay most attention to. But it helps us fulfill our God's charge to us in the book of Genesis, chapter 9, verse 1, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. Increase in number and raise children to be adults. And therefore, here, we have more signs that we were made for love, even God's love. What we could notice is that some of the things the brain crisis of love makes people do are a part of what love is all about, God's love and Christian love. Most theologians, of which I do not consider myself a theologian, or at least I'm not a very good theologian, theology requires ordered and disciplined thinking. I possess neither. But on the upside, I'm much more fun than most theologians. But most theologians begin a discussion of God's love by talking about nature, creation. For human beings, there is a lot that takes place in nature effortlessly. It takes place in nature effortlessly, at least by us. We eat fruits and grains, although we did none of the pollination. Speaking of fruit and honey, you and I have sweet taste buds on our tongue. Why? Those are not necessary to perpetuate the species or the tribe. Not all animals can taste sweet. Take my cat. Take my cat, please. My cat cannot taste sweetness. Is this why my cat hates me? My cat will eat ice cream, and I will eat ice cream, but we eat it for very different reasons. Sweet taste buds are just a bonus to some animals, but certainly a bonus to we human beings who know how to and where to find sweet and even to manufacture it. Pastor and author Francis Chan wrote his book about God's love and our love entitled Crazy Love. Pastor Chan reviews in the first chapter the incredible vastness of our world. A caterpillar on a leaf. The caterpillar has 228 separate muscles in just the caterpillar's head. The caterpillar might be on an average tree leaf of an average tree with 6 million leaves on it. Because of the sweet taste in our tongues, we can pick and choose among hundreds of different types of banana. And maybe it's we humans that are crazy. Apple season is upon us. I thought I heard that we have 4,000 varieties of apple, and we make more varieties every year, and some people can taste the differences in those apples. And if you can't find some varieties where you live, there are other fruits that grow just in your area of the world. Folks on the other side of the world have their own fruits, and they have their own favorite fruits. None of that helps anyone survive. It's all a loving bonus from a loving God. And most of this world was here before you arrived on the planet. So God has taken the initiative to love us. God moved first to love you. And just when humans decided that all those fruits were not enough and that one other fruit they weren't supposed to eat couldn't be bad for them, as we read in the book of Genesis, in the first chapters, the humans ate that one fruit, and humanity was expelled from God's presence. All that was created good because of us started to go downhill. But God was crazy in love with us, and God didn't give up on us. God hatched a plan to get us back. It was a plan that God formulated for us, and a plan that God initiated. And God himself was going to show up again on earth to come and get us. And we killed him. And God said, "Don't worry, I've got something to show you and to demonstrate to you." And God in Jesus was resurrected from the dead to new life so that you and I can have a new life. God did that, and that life will go on forever with God, and we get to keep the 4,000 varieties of apples and the honey, and we still don't have to pollinate all the crops. Now, my cat still cannot taste sweetness, but that's okay. God's love. Pretty amazing. Awesome. But let's look at love and break down some components as taken from the 13th chapter of the letter called 1 Corinthians. You've heard these words usually at weddings. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not self-seeking, and finishes down in verse 8, love never fails. God's love is patient. That is exactly what the Apostle Paul was saying in his second chapter in the letter to the Romans. God is waiting patiently for people to turn to him. God has turned to us and come to us and saved us in Jesus. It is our turn to turn. The Lord patiently waits for that to happen. It doesn't mean that there's no urgency because no one knows how much time they have to think about their decision. Jesus encouraged an immediate response. God's love is kind. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. God is kind in his forgiveness. No penalty is required of us. God paid the penalty. God took the initiative to demonstrate kindness to us. God saved us while we were yet sinners. So there's no preparation for God's kindness. It's already here. God's love in God's kindness is helpful. God's kindness is how we become new creatures in Christ. Transformation may begin when we turn to the Lord for the salvation He moved first to give to us. That's how much the Lord loves us. God's love is not self-seeking. Here again, we see the thing we often miss. Our Lord doesn't want something from us. The Lord wants something for us. Our Lord does not need anything. The only reason that God loves us is that God wants to love us. Most of our human love depends on some reason, like we're related, or we are family, or someone has been good to us, or kind to us, or helped us. So our love is often reactive. Our love reacts to circumstances and to people. We have and we give reasons to love. God doesn't need a reason to love us. God just does love us. The Lord's not seeking anything from us. The Lord has no ulterior motive. God's motive in loving us is God's desire to love us even when and while we are jerks. So why talk about romantic love? Because romantic love gives us some ground to understand God's love and our instructions as followers of Jesus to love others. As Pastor Chan's book is entitled, God Loves Us with a Crazy Love. God's love is not reasonable. That's how many people who are in love are described. They're crazy, irrational, lost their senses. People in love are described as in too deep. They are described and describe themselves as crazy about the other person. Bingo. Our God is crazy about you. I have a friend who does not like the sound of his own voice. I told him, God loves to hear your voice. Your voice is unique to you. You have a voice print as unique to you and as different as any fingerprint. That's why our Lord wants to hear your prayers. Just as parents know and usually love their child's voice, God loves your voice. How can a mother know her own child's scream when there's a room full of screaming children? And yet the mother does know. She can tell which child's scream is her own child's scream. The Lord knows your voice. Jesus said, I know my own. And this crazy love, as it does for God, when humans experience crazy love, they have some idea of what love requires. I knew a man who said of a woman he was crazy about that she had freckles, and he didn't know what she thought about her freckles, but he loved every one of her freckles. That man's friend said, man, you've got it bad. He certainly did. That love would cause that man to be patient. He would wait for her if he had to. He would be kind to her. He would look for and find ways to be kind to her. That man would take the initiative to demonstrate kindness, gifts, small and large, special events. Country singer Tim McGraw recorded a great little song in the mid-1990s that describes crazy love pretty well. The song was entitled, I Like It, I Love It. I'm not going to sing it for you, and I think we can be grateful for that. The song says, spent $48 last night at the county fair. I threw out my shoulder, but I won her, that teddy bear. She's got me saying sugar pie, honey, darling, and dear. I ain't seen the Braves play a game all year. I'm gonna get fired if I don't get some sleep. My long-lost buddies say I'm getting in too deep. But I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. I try so hard, I can't rise above it. Don't know what it is about that little gal's lovin', but I like it, I love it, I want some more of it. My mama and daddy tried to teach me courtesy, but it never sank in till that girl got a hold of me. Now I'm holding umbrellas and opening up doors. I'm taking out the trash and I'm sweeping my floors, crossing my fingers and counting every kiss, praying that it keeps going on like this. I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. One more thing. We will talk about Christian love more next week, but you might protest that you have not experienced crazy love, or you don't want to be in crazy love with people like God is. That's okay. You don't have to feel it, because love is more than a feeling. God demonstrated love to us. We too, even if we don't feel love, can demonstrate love to others. And take a look at 1 Corinthians 13 again for demonstrating love. It's how our Lord loves you. It's how our Lord demonstrates his love to you. Amen.